Okay, I brought something as a, can anybody see that? Somebody real special brought that to me on Wednesday night and said, Happy Valentine's Day, Dad, and that was Anna Woodard, and she's with me today, and so that's going to tie into my sermon just a little bit, so I'm going to stick that right there. I love my dad. Does anybody remember what February the 14th was? You know, while Shane was so busy talking about, you know, the Biggest Loser, he forgot to even mention Valentine's Day, which was, you know, February the 14th. So, you know, what better time to talk about love than in the month of February? And so there's something that just always has been special to me, and I've always tried to track it and follow it, and that is the greatest commandment. So today we're going to talk about a couple things, but my biggest focus is going to be on the greatest commandment. As I put my study together, my thoughts together for today, I tell you what, I just want to stop and say, you know, for Shane Hines, for Vicki and for Shane, how blessed we are to have them, and I'm sorry you're having to listen to me, because I was looking forward to Shane's third class on being the Biggest Loser. And I think Shane said, Jim said, I've looked around this, and since I'm going to be gone, you're the Biggest Loser in here, so I'm going to ask you to go ahead and kind of preach, you know, in my absence. But so since I may be the Biggest Loser, and since Domino's, by the way, Shane kind of set it up, said last week for you to pack a lunch. So I was looking to see if anybody had your lunch ready to go, because he said, go ahead and bring it. So you got yours? No. And if not, I've got Domino's showing up at 11 o'clock, so we'll be ready to go. I'm going to talk to us today about a couple things, but I always like to give out a disclaimer. My disclaimer is I'm a sinner. You know, I mean, bottom line is we all kind of struggle with sin, and none of us in here are perfect, and I'm a sinner. Number two, I'm not a professional Bible scholar. I'm not a paid professional, so anything that I may mess up today, just bear with me. I'm not a professional. Third, I'm using the thank you very much. The other one is I'm using the New Living Testament as a reference for my readings. And also, I go on to BibleGateway.com. I don't know if anybody ever goes to that or not, but if you want to search and be able to look up Scripture, you just go to BibleGateway.com, and you'll be able to find and search words. So a lot of my references are certainly from that. And last but not least, you can certainly say a little prayer that God's Word is spoken today and not mine. And that's what I wanted to kind of focus on more than anything else is God's Word. Do you know that the word love, L-O-V-E, four-letter word, the letter love, if my number in research is right, is used about 1,754 times in Scripture. 1,754 times in Scripture. There's 763 references. In other words, Scripture, if you look up Bible Gateway, there's 763 Scripture references where the word love is used multiple times. So that's how I guess they come up with the 1,754. And I need a little engineering sometimes study on that to calculate the numbers and make sure I got it right. But I'm going to talk about love today and the greatest commandment. If you want to go into finding love, the very first reference I could find in love was in Genesis chapter 22. The very first use of the word love was in Genesis chapter 22. And I'm thinking, God, where was it in the creation story? God, where was it with Adam and Eve? God, where was it with Noah? You waited until the 22nd chapter of Genesis to introduce the word love. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the mountain which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and he took his two servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped the wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. You've chopped a lot of wood for fireplaces, haven't you? For campfires with your Boy Scouts? Could you imagine if you were going out and gathering up wood because you were going to sacrifice at God's command for one of your sons? I couldn't do that. I only got one, and that's stone wooder. But I can't imagine God telling me, if you love me, Jim, you're going to go gather up stone, you're going to take him, and you're going to sacrifice him. And the very first time we hear the word love was in chapter 22 of Genesis. God waited and he introduced it when Abraham loved his son Isaac. There's a whole wonderful story about that if you want to go back, because it also kicks in Ishmael and also kicks in Hagar. And it's kind of an interesting story if you want to go back and read it, but time will not allow it. But just remember, and we get to it in just a minute, that God stopped Abraham from killing his son. But as we just partook in the communion, God did not stop the killing of his son. Jumping on to the next one, I went into Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with basically the beginning. Moses comes down and introduces the main theme that I'm bringing on today. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me, Moses, to teach to you. You must obey them in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. For those of us that are raising children, just think about that sentence for just a second. You and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey, Jim Woodard, all of these decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Frank must be doing pretty good with it because he's getting older every year. So, Frank, you must be following the decrees pretty good. So, since Shane's not here to pick on you, I'll point that out. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. Moses stopped. Said, stop what you're doing. Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord alone is our God. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Anna might remember this. Repeat them again and again to your children. My kids get sometimes irritated because back when driving them to school, we would always either sing a song or we'd have a prayer. And Anna probably still has got mental hang-ups about that today, but I'm glad that she's with me. Repeat them again and again to your children, Moses told us. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This was given to me by a good Jewish friend of mine in Belgium. I love this guy. He's a very devout Jewish brother. And if you were ever to go to any Jewish buddies, if you have some Jewish friends, you might see this. But if you go to their house, they've got one of these on their doorpost. If you go to their office doors, when I'm going into an office building in Belgium, I can always tell who the Jews are because they've got this on their door when I walk in. And every time they walk in or out of their office, they touch that. This is a piece of the Torah. And they are still going back to Deuteronomy. And they are still saying, write these down. Put them on your forehead. If you ever kind of go to some of their services, you will see something that looks kind of bizarre. But they'll wear a box on their forehead. And that forehead, that little box has got a piece of the Torah in it. The Torah is written down, which is God's message. They take it very seriously when it says to write them down, to wear them on your forehead as a reminder, to put them on your doorpost. But again, Deuteronomy 6 is where it all began when God told Moses to love God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Joshua, as we go through searching out the word love, go to Joshua chapter 22. Now, Joshua was a history teacher. We've got teachers in here all the time, but Joshua was a history teacher. He kind of talked about it. And Joshua was only one of two people that was a slave in Egypt, if I did my research right. But he was only one of two survivors from Egypt that made the trip that got to go into the promised land. Moses had his successor. His successor was Joshua. So as we get into Joshua chapter 22, we read, be very careful to obey all the commands and instructions that Moses gave you. Love, L-O-V-E. Love the Lord your God. Walk in His ways. Obey His commandments. Hold firmly to Him and serve Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Only one of two to make it that far. And Joshua is still preaching and teaching the greatest commandment out of Deuteronomy. But what about Job? as we go through the Scripture. Did Job have a few struggles? Did Job have a learning curve? I'm glad I'm not Job. And I think we all are to that. Can we get an amen on that one? I mean, I don't want to have to go through the testing that Job did. But let's see if Job reminds us of love. Job in chapter 37, and I'm kind of a guy that always likes to go to the end of the book and get the summary. Does anybody else ever do that? I have a hard time reading it all. I just kind of want to get the first paragraph and the last paragraph and figure out something else in the middle. But in chapter 37, after Job's gone through most of it, starting in verse 12, the clouds churn about at his direction. They do whatever he commands throughout the earth. He, being God, Yahweh, makes things enter. I'm sorry, he makes these things happen either to punish people or to show his unfailing love. Job is saying God makes things happen either to punish people or to show his unfailing love. In verse 14, Job says, stop. Pay attention to this. God is saying, Job, you need to stop. You need to listen. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Stop and consider what wonderful miracles that God has done. Unfailing love. Even Job, with all of his losses, had unfailing love. God's still in the business of making things happen today. Amen? You know, do we ever stop and really consider God's great miracles? You know, our sister, Miss Petty, here is not with us this morning, but she gathered a few of us out the other day and handed out a book. And some of you will hear that as we all start making the presentations. But in her book that she gave us, in the first paragraph, it said, have you really stopped to consider, for those of you that are astrologers, there's 350 billion galaxies? Am I right? I mean, is that science? They think there may be even more. But 350 billion galaxies our Creator has made. And in addition to 350 billion galaxies that He's made, the size of Jupiter and those planets that are huge and the suns and the stars, God also, according to this book, made the caterpillar. And according to His writings, He said the caterpillar has 256 muscles in his brain, all of them serving a particular purpose. So whether we've got the God of the galaxies, the God of the caterpillars, or for those, I never could identify a tree in scouting. It was always the hardest thing for me to do, but hard to identify a tree. But I think the standard oak tree has 6 million leaves. Do we ever stop and consider the miracles of God? Following on through, Psalms, verse 5, the first reference of love in Psalms, verse 5. O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, as I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and I wait patiently. O God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. Therefore, the proud may not stand in your presence. For you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. You detest murderers and deceivers. Verse 7 is the key. Because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. Because of His unfailing love, we can enter this house. Because of your unfailing love, I will worship at your temple, this temple. Everywhere we are with God's temple. With deepest awe. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, for my enemies will conquer me. Make your way plain for me to follow. I was sharing with somebody this past week who's got cancer. And I was trying to reflect and help them go back and search in some Psalms. Remove the word enemy in Psalms and write cancer. Remove the word enemy in Psalms and write down a sin that you're dealing with. For sin is our enemy. Sometimes sickness is our enemy. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies, or my sickness, or my sin will conquer me. Make the way plain for me to follow, whether it's death, sickness, addictions, pride, greed. The word enemy can be substituted for many things. But he jumps down to verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. And I loved it. You'll sing it. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. All that love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. Now, for those of you in defense contracts, we probably think of shields and force fields, but I don't know if we ever really think about love as being a shield. But he reminds us that a shield of love can be a blessing. I love the Psalms. You can always gain insight into Psalms, right? Not Psalms, but Psalm. My brother told me that this morning. Psalms 119, the longest psalm. You really want to kind of get into David's heart. You go pick up Psalms 119. It's going to take you some time. There's 176 verses in Psalms 119. So you got to dig into that one. But if you want to know David's heart, you go pick up Psalms 119 and start reading. In verse 46, I will speak to kings about your laws, and I will not be ashamed, David said. How often do we speak unashamed to others? I delight in your commands. Oh, how I love them. I mean, do you really run around the house every now and then going, oh, I just love God's commands? I mean, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Oh, man, God, don't make me follow this. Let me just off this time. Let me get off the hook. Don't. I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. Psalms 119. Jumping over to 166 in Psalms 119. I long for your rescue, Lord, so I have obeyed your commands. I'm waiting on God to take care of me, so I'm going to try to follow his commands. I have obeyed your laws, for I love them very much. Yes, I obey your commandments and the laws because you know everything I do. How many times do we try to tell our kids? My mother, who's sitting with us today, but Mom always said, Jim, I don't care what you do. God knows what you do. Whether I'm here or not, I know what you're doing. He knows what you're doing. And she always said, idleness is a devil's what? So did anybody else get preached that message too, or was it just me? God says, or David said, that God knows everything that we are doing. Proverbs. As a matter of fact, the word love is probably scattered throughout Psalms more than any other thing in the Old Testament. Because love is just said all the time. Jumping over to Proverbs, first time love is used in Proverbs is in chapter 3, verse 12. For the Lord corrects those he loves. Do you ever think as a young child that being corrected means that mom and dad love you? That was always a hard one for me to understand when mother was kind of correcting me. Anna would probably say it was probably hard for her. I know Stone did. I mean, from time to time, but God corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child whom he delights. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was young, my mother would confess to this, I could never get away with anything. I mean, no matter what I would do, I would almost get caught right off the bat. So, I mean, I somewhere later in life, I said, okay, I guess that hopefully that means that God loves me, either that or I'm lousy at getting away and figuring out stuff. But you know what? If we're involved in sin, if we're caught up in something, if He loves you, He's probably going to expose it or kind of push you in a different direction. Because He loves us, and He knows who and where we are at all times. The first reading in Matthew, first use of love in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. After his baptism, and Jesus came out up of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son. First use of the word love in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3. My dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. And I promise you, God's looking at every one of us in here, and if we are a believer and if we have accepted Him, He is saying, I love you. is my beloved Father. For our youngest family that's been baptized in the Word, just remember, even after our greatest confessions of faith and baptism, what did Christ do? But took off into the wilderness and was beat up and went hungry for 40 days and 40 nights. So sometimes just because we make a commitment doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're going to be taken out and given a feast to enjoy. Sometimes it means we're going to go out and get closer to God. Matthew comes back as first writing in references to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Matthew 22, he records, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment of all the laws of Moses?" And we know that that was a trap trying to get Jesus to say the wrong thing, but Jesus replied, "This is our Lord and our Master saying, you must." And say you might, you should, well, maybe on a better day when you feel like it. He said, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." On over in Mark. Matthew, Mark. Jump over there. Mark 12, verse 29. "If you were to come into my business and I give you a business card, the one thing I put on the back of it is Mark 12. And Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. Listen, O Highland Hills Church. Listen, family. The Lord our God is one and only Lord. He's the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and with all of your strength. And it is equally important to love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Heart, mind. Heart, mind. Heart and soul. Mind and strength. Heart and mind. Soul and strength. Haven't we always heard the expression, give it all your heart, all your soul? I think that kind of refers back to it. Give it all your mind, give it all your strength. But what does, I think my challenge to myself every day and my challenge for you is to think, what does that mean to me? To love God with all of my heart and mind, all my soul and my strength. Then it turned around differently. Otherwise, the first two references to that love God, greatest commandment, was in the third reference to it, instead of Jesus was asked the question the first two times. But over in Luke, you know, Dr. Luke, Dr. Crabtree ought to appreciate Luke as much as anybody, from one physician to the other, but Dr. Luke here said, Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say, and how do you read it?" Because somebody said, you know, Jesus was asking the question to this guy. What is the greatest commandment? And the man answered. So obviously he was a Bible student. He understood the words. The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." That time Jesus was answering the question. As Jesus came and asked us the question, would we know? Are we prepared for Christ to ask us questions, whether it be of Scripture, whether it be of laws, whether it be of commandments? I know one thing. I'm going to be really blessed in the month of March, because in the month of March, I got a letter the other day that says the Tennessee State Sales Tax is coming in to conduct an audit. So I'm really lucky. They're coming in to conduct an audit. They're going to ask questions, and I certainly hope I'm prepared. I'm certainly hoping Lisa Dye is prepared, because she's my CFO and bookkeeper, so I'm hoping we're ready. But I guarantee you, you hear the word audit, it doesn't make you comfortable, does it? Under any circumstance, does the word test make any students happy? We're going to have a test. We're going to have an audit. Well, in addition to that, I got a letter last Wednesday from the State Election Commission saying, "Oh, by the way, Mr. Woodard, we appreciate you running for State Senate last year, and we want to come and conduct an audit on your collections and your fundraising." I picked up the phone. I called him, Dick, and I said, "By the way, you guys, you do know I lost that, don't you?" You know, see, we don't really need to come and say, "Oh, no, we're just going to come in and audit everybody in the 14th district." So I get two great audits in the month of March, and something really to look forward to. But the question is, would any of us be prepared for a spiritual altar? Are we ready if Christ asked us a question? John, you got to love John. And again, we go to John 3 and 15, 16, 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that everyone should believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. He didn't say to save it through Buddha. He didn't say to save it through New Age science or the New Age movement. He didn't say to do it with Joseph Smith. He didn't say save it with anybody else. He said, I'm sending my Son that the world might be saved through Him. God so loved. Another reference to love. I'm not going to read John 14. Time is just, we're already, my lunch should be served here in a minute, so I don't want to go too far. But I want to get you to go back to John chapter 14. If you want to have some good reading today, just try to go back. And I know when you say that, you don't hardly ever do it. But John 14 is, if you feel like your heart is troubled, if anybody in here has a troubled heart, and probably nobody does, I know in our time today, nobody has a troubled heart. But if you really want to go back and see, how do I handle a heart that might be broken or troubled, go back to John 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. John recorded Jesus saying, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. He didn't say anything else. He goes on to say in verse 15, if you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you anything. If you want to know the biggest struggle Jim Woodard has in all of Scripture, I'll tell you, if all of you are just really happy, hunky-dory with your faith and your religion, and you don't challenge it, and you don't want to have these conversations with God, if the word is angry, I get upset and bent and talk to God like I would talk to my mama or my daddy, but I express myself. But the biggest challenge I have is the wow verse, verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Well, I'm a guy that likes to read Scripture, and I take it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I guess just call me an idiot, but when I read something in it, I think this is, that means what it's supposed to mean. But you know what? I got to tell you, I've had some prayers that haven't been answered. I've had some faith walks that have been challenged. And that is the biggest wow verse because I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me. It didn't say just the shepherds of the church. It didn't say just the pulpit ministers. It didn't say just those folks that have gone and got a PhD in Bible studies. You know, Jesus is saying, I tell you, anyone who believes in me will do the same. I like Howard Kirksey when he says, God has an answer to prayer. Yes, no, or what does he say? I've got something better in store. I like the way Howard answers that question. Yes, no, or maybe I've got something better in store. If you love me, you will obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you an advocate. That advocate is the Holy Spirit. Do we truly believe? John 21, 14. Do you love me? Remember Peter denied Christ three times? Sometimes I feel a lot like Peter because I think there's been times I've denied him probably more than three times. But again, Christ came to him and said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter answered, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. What did Jesus say back? He said, if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, take care of my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. Does anybody own sheep anymore? I've always thought I'd like to have sheep, but you know what? I don't. But again, he's saying to Peter, if you really love me, go and feed my sheep. And I just wanted to say, for some people that want to feed sheep, we're in the sheep feeding business today. We are. Because I can tell you, a good friend of mine back here in the back, and I didn't know he was coming today, but I was going to mention, if you want to feed God's sheep, join Lane Curley in the Coffee County Cares for Families. Join him in his ministry of what he's trying to do, feed people that are hungry or uneducated, trying to find a job. You join Fran in the work that she's been doing with Habitat Houses. You want to join, get into Young Life Ministry, which I'm trying to get started in the high schools today. You want to work with a shepherd's house. So if you want to feed sheep, if you want to care, you know what? We can all be Peter. And I do think God is calling us and saying, look, if you love me, follow my commands. And following my commands means sometimes you got to get up off our good intentions and go to work. I've got to shut up. In Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, love your neighbor. For the commands say, Paul is writing this, for the commands say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in one commandment, and that commandment is to love your neighbor. There's a lot of discussion about what does it mean to love yourself. That can be kind of crazy. It takes a little bit to figure out. But I think, again, it's saying love your neighbor unselfishly. Stop being selfish and go out and love your neighbor. And the greatest love chapter, and I can't read it, time's not going to allow me, 1 Corinthians 13, but go back and look at it. We normally think of that as such a wonderful thing to hear for weddings, don't we? We always hear that at the weddings. It's always about a wedding. I got to have a wedding. I got to preach that one. If I could speak in all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, he goes on to talk about it. All that stuff is worthless. But if I don't have love, if I don't have love, but love is, let me ask you today, how patient are you? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud, or it's not rude. Oh, gosh, God, he doesn't really mean that in marriages, does he? I mean, he doesn't mean this is, you know, when it comes to your spouses, you don't have, this does not apply, correct? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful or proud. It's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Love's not irritable? Well, I need to read that every day, because sometimes I can be pretty irritating, probably like right now. It does not rejoice about injustice. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful, and love endures through every circumstance. If you walk out of here today not remembering anything, I just want you to go, because times are tough. But as I told the little folks over at Morning Point this morning, I bet it was tough for those folks when they jumped off that boat at the Mayfly. I bet it was tough when those folks were crossing the Western Plains in a wagon train. I bet it was tough when my dad kind of drove those boats up on the beaches in Japan. And I bet it was tough when those guys stormed Normandy on a D-Day. And I bet it was tough in the Depression back in the 20s. My dad said, oh, I didn't know there was a Depression. We were depressed every day. But love never gives up. Do you ever feel like giving up? I do. Especially when I got two audits coming up in March. Especially sometimes I'm trying to make a payroll. Especially sometimes I feel like giving up. But love never gives up. Never loses faith. Is always hopeful. Always endures through every circumstance. Keep that in mind. Through every circumstance. Peter, the end of the world is coming soon. We probably never think about this. I had a guy in the store yesterday. He asked me to clean his cross. I got to tell you, he didn't look like a guy that ought to be wearing a cross. I thought I was going to be real smart. I went back there and I cleaned his cross. I came back out to him. I handed it to him because he's kind of a rough-looking character. I said, what church do you go to? He said, oh, I go to an interdenomination. And he said, the end is coming soon. I don't know if, I don't know where his reference was, but I thought I was going to be a little smart before you go to church. His first thought was, the end is coming soon. The end of the world is coming soon, Peter says. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Maybe I'm the only one that's got a multitude of sins I need to have covered up. But love covers a multitude of sins. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, God's children, talks about that. God's word lives in
your hearts.
God's word lives in your hearts. He goes on to warn us. Do not love this world. I'm trying to make sure my children don't love this world. Don't love the world nor the things that it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not love your Father. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. You know, I don't know about you, but when God is saying that, when He's teaching us that message, do not love this world, because, you know, the world becomes a drug dealer. We all know what a drug dealer does. They want to get you addicted to things. And if we're not careful, I think what Christ is saying is you can get addicted to this world. People got addicted. They didn't want to really leave Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't think. The Israelites really didn't want to leave Egypt. Some of them thought it was a good thing. We don't know what's out there. I got people today that love to go to Vegas. They love Vegas. Don't love this world. I've seen what addicts become. I've seen drug users. I wish Everett was here, because I thank God for Everett and the work he's done. John 3, 1 John 3. And I'm going to shut up. And this is His command. 1 John chapter 3. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him, and He with them. Must believe, must obey His commandments. The Ten Commandments, kind of, you, basically the first ten. You need to go back. Just think, if you don't know what the commandments are, that's a good place to start. It is going back. You know, you must not have any other gods besides Me. That's the first one. Don't have any other gods besides Me. Sometimes that's a TV, sometimes that's a computer, sometimes that's your work, sometimes that's your sports, sometimes that's an alcoholic bottle. Revelations, and I'm almost through. Revelations 1. Grace and peace to you from the One who is, who always was, and who is still to come. From the sevenfold Spirit before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all kings of the world. All glory to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding His blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God His Father. Have you thought of yourself today as a priest? You go back and read Revelations 4 and 6, and if you're a believer, you tell me that you aren't considered to be a priest. If you love His commandments, then you want to be a priest. Last but not least, in Revelations 2:19, I know all the things you do. That ought to be enough to make us a little scared from time to time. That ought to be enough to keep us from making sure we pay our taxes right, making sure that we continue to do what God would have us to do when we're out of town on our own. When nobody's around, I know all the things you do. But John goes on to say, I have seen your love. I have seen your faith. I have seen your service and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement in all things. So as I shut my book, what I love most, we have gone from Genesis all the way through Revelations. The word love is probably used more in the Scripture than anything else. If you don't leave here today knowing anything else, know the greatest commandment is to love God. You've got to define, I have to define what my definition of love is. But God says to love Him with all your mind and strength, heart and soul, mind and strength. And I also love the way He ends it in Revelations. I can see your constant improvement, because thank God every day is a constant improvement. He didn't say, I'm expecting you to be there and you're going to finally hit it. He's saying every day is a constant improvement. And that gives me hope. I can improve every day. If you talk to a drunk who's gone through AA, he'll tell you, I don't know, I can't tell you. Jim, I can't tell you I won't have a drink tomorrow. But I can tell you I'm not going to have a drink today. Constant improvement, one day at a time. Dick and I did not compare notes on anything, but the invitation song or the, you know, who am I to say an invitation song? But the steadfast love of the Lord is a great song. Dick picked that. We didn't compare our notes. But I would say this. You know, I came up here a couple of weeks ago and had a thought. And that thought is, I just want to be a little closer to God. I need a constant improvement. I'm a sinner. Just need to be. And you know what? I haven't murdered anybody this past week. You know, if you want to pick out the top biggest offenses, I don't know that I've really done anything super bad. But you know what? I've gotten angry. I've gotten greedy. I've had, I've probably said a couple of words I shouldn't have said. I might have had a real bad fear. And God says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. I say if you, on the invitation song, and you need to surprise Shane with this next week, it isn't about coming forward and just saying, I'm a horrible sinner, and letting everybody look at you and go, okay, what has he done? What has she done? Why are they going forward? Maybe you just want to come forward and say a prayer for somebody. Maybe you want to come forward and remember Everett at the hospital. Maybe you want to come forward and pray, say a special little prayer for our kids coming back from the youth trip. Maybe you want to say a prayer for Shane and Vicki and the hard work that he's trying to do. Don't feel like coming forward on a Sunday is something that's painful and you've done something wrong. Just let it be if you want to come and pray for somebody and keep something special between you and them. I love you and I love this church. I appreciate Shane asking me to speak, and I'm sorry I say that. Thank you for the shepherds. We have a wonderful church family. And we've got a much better preacher than me. So if you're here as a visitation, come back next week and you'll find out about the Biggest Loser, and he'll do a great job telling me about that. But again, I thank you for your time. I hope I haven't. So I just tried to share with you what I thought God was leading me to give you on the most critical verses of all life. Because it is the most important. I love you.